God made them male and female. At creation, there was no LGBTQ. There was only male and female. And a man shall cleave to a woman, says the scriptures, his wife, and a woman to a man, her husband. And these scriptures, should you believe them, make it clear that a man shall not lay with a man, and a woman shall not lay with a woman. To do so was not only biologically unnatural, but morally and spiritually unacceptable. That, according to the God of Abraham and our Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't up to us to decide or categorize differently. That was the way it was, and that was accepted as the norm, the normal, the right, since the time of Adam and Eve. The definition of the term sex was clear and accepted and respected. And that definition was understood by all, including our very own Congress, when in 1964 the Civil Rights Act was passed. That act provided protection for male and female in Title VII, prohibiting discrimination based on race, color, religion, national origin, and, of course you're ready for this, and sex. But then came LGBTQ, and the definition of sex was challenged, and a new legal and constitutional question arose. Does the term sex in Title VII of the 1964 Civil Rights Act include the new LGBTQ definitions of gender identity and sexual orientation? Does it, United States Supreme Court? Does it? Strict constitutionalists, whether judicial or congressional, say no. No way. No matter, nine men and women, the justices of the Supreme Court, will tell we the people, our country, and the world what is now the new, or hopefully the old, definition of sex. Does the word sex mean what it meant to the general public in 1964 when the Civil Rights Act was passed? Or is the word flexible, organic, subject to redefinition as the thinking and mores of current culture require? That's quite a question, don't you think? This Supreme Court will render perhaps some of the most historic and life-changing decisions in the next 12 months. Watch what our Supreme Court does carefully, my fellow Americans. Watch them carefully. Because six men and three women will make those critical decisions. Four of those nine justices are Roman Catholic. Three are Jewish. Two are Protestant. The moral and cultural landscape of America will be redefined by Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Alito, Thomas, Gorsuch, Kennedy, Breyer, Ginsburg, Kagan, and Sotomayor. Six men and three women will tell 330 million people what is right. Ironic, is it not, that the rights, understanding, beliefs, and morals of we the people will be decided by just nine of us? But such is the way, the ultimate way in which our democracy works. The cases which the Supreme Court will decide will not only affect employers, secular and Christian, but perhaps every bit as importantly, how women and girls are regarded in the law, as it is meant to guarantee fair and equal treatment. The decisions will even affect religious organizations and potentially influence or negate their right to hire according to their spiritual missions and beliefs. The court will decide a case which deals directly with public accommodation laws, which pertain to gay and transgender rights, and perhaps another case involving floral shop owner Baronelle Stutzman, a devout Christian, by the way, who serves and hires LGBTQ people, but declines to create custom arrangements for gay weddings on religious grounds. The decision in either or both would greatly affect Christian business owners, including their rights to sell and to hire. There is also the case of R.G. and G.R. Harris Funeral Homes, the owners of which are strong Christians, who fired a funeral director who had informed them in a letter that he would begin presenting himself as a woman when he was in fact a biological male, as he tended to their business. and there are more such cases clamoring for Supreme Court adjudication. All these cases deal with issues which affect both religious freedoms and freedom of speech, guaranteed by the Constitution in its very precious First Amendment. And the clash of these long-respected and traditional rights with the newfound rights of LGBTQ will be historic, my fellow Americans. It could radically change our culture, our landscape, and the way in which we live. My fellow Americans, as watchmen and women on the walls, the constitutional walls of our great country, watch carefully. There is a process known as Friend of the Court, which allows interested, competent, and qualified parties to file on behalf of their very own beliefs the constitutional position the groups believe the court should take. In these cases, that includes Orthodox Jewish groups, a long list of conservative Christian organizations, and even Muslim groups as well. Interestingly, the liberal, even radical feminist group Women's Liberation Front itself has filed, and its position is against the LGBTQ demands for the recognition of gender identity and sexual orientation. Women's Liberation Front believes that any change in the definition of sex in the 1964 Title VII Civil Rights Act would destroy the gains made by women and girls under the protection of that act. In Connecticut, it is cited, the state has allowed an individual to declare what he or she believes is their gender identity and sexual orientation. And that declaration by the individual is conclusive. It's conclusive. As such, biological men are declaring themselves women and are entering sporting events for women and winning. These biological males have set state female track records, and biological men can now compete with biological women in virtually everything if the traditionally held definition of sex is altered. That's unbelievable, don't you think? If the definition of sex is changed, biological men presenting themselves in a newly sexually oriented way as women could be found sleeping in women's dormitories in schools and colleges and universities. They can also be housed in women's shelters. And, of course, they would be allowed to use women's bathrooms virtually anywhere. I don't know about you, but I find that repugnant. Small wonder that some of the most radical feminist groups aggressively oppose the redefinition of sex and find themselves against the demands of their once ally, LGBTQ. It seems obvious that any ruling by the Supreme Court which expands Title VII would not only change that statute, but would affect virtually every federal statute which would be required to be interpreted in accordance with the new ruling and the new definitions. That would immediately place religious organizations in extreme jeopardy, especially with regard to freedom of religion and freedom of speech. I wonder the reaction of sincere Christian men and women, those who own businesses and sell products and services, those who operate nonprofit organizations by Christian principles, like my company, and those who will not surrender to new definitions or federal requirements which impinge upon their consciences. I wonder if, in fact, and at that time, they and we who likewise believe will stand and fight the fight of faith. I will. Will you? Strict constitutionalists, those justices which follow the law as it is and as it was, would make no change. But those who are judicial activists, who believe the Constitution to be organic, a living organism, and subject to change, could very well change the definition of sex, so as to include gender identification and sexual orientation concepts. If those activist judges prevail, and they are there on our Supreme Court, say goodbye to Judeo-Christian American values and morals when it comes to sex. Even one appellate court liberal, very liberal judge, one Gerard Lynch, took direct aim at the idea that Congress in 1964 meant anything other than male and female when referring to the term sex. Interestingly, Judge Lynch said the following about that interpretation. We all know Congress meant no such thing, that is, gender identity and sexual orientation. We all know, said liberal Judge Lynch, we all know Congress meant no such thing. Chief Justice John Roberts foresaw the current constitutional crisis. That's so when the Supreme Court recently determined that lesbian and gay marriage was in fact a constitutional right. Roberts, who believed that was a state issue, knew that there would be soon to come aggressive clashes between the newfound rights of LGBTQ and religious freedoms. Roberts also predicted the growth of hate speech, as a way and means to curtail religious freedom of speech. Those constitutional clashes, they're here, my fellow Americans, clear and present dangers to the norm, the constitutional normal for almost 250 years. The question is whether or not government, federal or state, states like Washington, California, Colorado, and New York, already at work, so liberal are they in their policies and legislation, whether these states and the federal government can force a business owner to sell products or services to those he or she wishes not to, and whether all organizations, including and especially Christian-owned, profit or nonprofit, can be required to hire LGBTQ and otherwise legally accept a proclamation by any such individual that he or she now wishes to change sexual orientation or gender identity and become a man, should she be a woman, or become a woman, should he be a man. These governments can in fact require such conduct if the Supreme Court so allows, and the refusal could lead to serious fines or even criminal prosecution and jail. Can you believe that? But that is the possibility. That is so, especially if any of these resisting individuals or entities took their beliefs to the public square in the exercise of freedom of speech. Here it comes, my fellow Americans. The fight of faith is on, big time. Are you in it? Are you? So, we the people, and we the Christian people, must watch and pray. But watch and become involved. Support the organizations which seek to protect basic and fundamental constitutional rights. Proclaim your beliefs loudly and publicly. Or, even as radicals do, encourage all those who seek to protect your rights and contribute to their causes. Be active and aggressive in that regard. And pray. And pray again. Hardly any matters in this great country of ours needs more prayer than these incredible issues at work. It is so very interesting how the three-letter word sex and its definition, new definition, and meaning will so radically affect the lives and lifestyles of 330 million people. If the Supreme Court, our Supreme Court, expands the definition of sex to include gender identity and sexual orientation, America's norms, values, and beliefs will change and change forever. And the freedoms that once went with those old definitions, once held and believed, will be gone forever. And never forget the words of Ronald Reagan, freedoms once lost are lost forever. Ever.